Welcome to Holy Week, our special edition of Praying with Scripture. First, I would like to start us out with the Liturgy of the Word, because honestly, the Mass readings are going to be the most important scriptures that you're going to hear during Holy Week, because they tell about the life and the events leading up to the Paschal mystery of Jesus Christ. First, I'm going to ask us all to prepare ourselves by praying for the Holy Father's monthly intentions right off the bat, to make it an indulgence prayer session. And we'll remember we can get a plenary indulgence for half an hour of reflection on sacred scripture. And this is all the Word of God. Let us pray that the use of the new technologies will not replace human relationships. Will respect the dignity of the person and will help us face the crises of our times. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil and from the evil one. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Yes, that is a big jet passing overhead. Just in time. All right, thank you, Father. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. All right, let us begin the Liturgy of the Word. We'll even add a few parts from, not Liturgy of the Word, but introductory rites. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. My brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins, and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I won't be attempting to give the prayer of absolution, even though it's not a sacramental absolution, but still, let's acknowledge it, take a minute to examine ourselves in silence and ask for God's forgiveness after that moment of silence. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on us, O Lord, for we have sinned against you. Show us, O Lord, your mercy and grant us your salvation. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner, and trusting that Almighty God has had mercy on us, forgiven us our sins, and will bring us to everlasting life. Let's continue to the Liturgy of the Word. With the collect prayer. Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that though in our weakness we fail, we may be revived through the passion of your only begotten Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. He will not cry out nor make his voice heard in the street, is our caption for this reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one, with whom I am pleased, upon whom I have put my spirit. He shall bring forth justice to the nations, not crying out, not shouting, not making his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he shall not break, and a smoldering wick he shall not quench, until he establishes justice on the earth. The coastlands will wait for his teaching. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spreads out the earth with its crops, who gives breath to its people and the spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you for the victory of justice. I have grasped you by the hand. I formed you and set you as a covenant of the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out prisoners from confinement, and from the dungeon those who live in darkness. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Yeah, that's actually one of the prayers that my parish pastor used to love, requested it all the time. And the responsorial psalm has this antiphon that we repeat. The Lord is my light and my salvation is the response. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord is my life's refuge. Of whom should I be afraid? The Lord is my light and my salvation. When evildoers come at me to devour my flesh, my foes and enemies themselves stumble and fall. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Though an army encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war be waged against me, even then will I trust him. The Lord is my light and my salvation. I believe that I shall see the bounty of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord with courage. Be stout-hearted and wait for the Lord. The Lord is my light and my salvation. So again, that should remind you of what we're going to do in the office of readings, what we do all the time in the divine offices. It's not like the other ones where we speak God's word to the community, but it's actually a prayer, and that's why they have the responsorial antiphon in there. The verse before the gospel. Hail to you, our King. You alone are compassionate with our faults. Let her keep this for the day of my burial. And we're going to have a reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 12, 1 through 11. 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. They gave a dinner for him there, and Martha served while Lazarus was one of those reclining at table with him. Mary took a liter of costly perfumed oil made from genuine Aramaic nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and dried them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Then Judas the Iscariot, one of his disciples and the one who would betray him, said, Why was this oil not sold for 300 days' wages and given to the poor? He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief and held the money bag and used to steal the contributions. So Jesus said, Leave her alone. Let her keep this for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. The large crowd of the Jews found out that he was there and came. Not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead, and the chief priests plotted to kill Lazarus too, because many of the Jews were turning away and believing in Jesus because of him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. It's sometimes called the domestic Last Supper. It's an interesting one to kind of envision yourself there and say, which person do I relate to most, right? But Judas starts this great disturbance that you could kind of relate to some of your own fights, perhaps, or disagreements. And he's just being, insincere. He's just not telling the truth. So without going on to reflect on that, let's move on, because it'd be a very personal reflection. Or you could do one where you placed it within the context of John's Gospel, and let's move on to the end of our Liturgy of the Word and the beginning of our Office of Reading, since we have much more to go on. In the earliest centuries of the Church Fathers and the Popes and Bishops of the Church composed the Apostles' Creed so that any Christian could understand the most important truths contained in sacred scripture, using only an explanation of the tradition of the Church that went along with their experience of this creed, as this creed was explained to them. So it's a really powerful biblical creed, and it takes us into the heart of the story of our Lord, climaxing the story of the Bible. will do the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Now we turn to prayers of the faithful, which I will take for the intercessions for evening prayer for today. And maybe later on we will do the prayers of the faithful for the families again. Savior of mankind, the Savior of mankind, by dying destroyed death, and by rising again restored life, let us humbly ask Him, sanctify Your people, redeemed by Your blood. Redeemer of the world, give us a greater share of Your passion through a deeper spirit of repentance, so that we may share the glory of Your resurrection. May Your Mother, comfort of the afflicted, protect us. May we console others as You console us. In their trials, enable Your faithful people to share in Your passion, and so reveal in their lives Your saving power. You humbled Yourself by being obedient, even to accepting death, death on a cross. Give all who serve You the gifts of obedience and patient endurance. Transform the bodies of the dead to be like Your own in glory, and bring us at last into their fellowship. Again, we want to particularly pray for Bill. We want to pray for Clarissa, who's still mourning the death of her only son. We pray for James H., for his soul to be released from purgatory. I believe he's passed on by now, but I'd honestly have to check it. Kind of want to know. We pray for Your intentions and for Bill. Bill, who's suffering, to experience God's forgiveness, God's love, God's peace through even through humbling, but also God's peace through healing. All right, that was long. I didn't mean to say that much about everyone's intentions, but we'll conclude with an Our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil and from the evil one. Teach us to pray, Lord, all-powerful God, by the suffering and death of Your Son, strengthen and protect us in our weakness. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, Your Son, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Or really, we could, since we're going to go right in to the office of readings, shouldn't have said the final prayer there. Let's go over to the final prayer. Bow down and hear me, Lord. Come to my rescue. We pray Psalm 131, a troubled person's confident appeal to God, is the name of the prayer, the caption the church has chosen. Father, into Your hands I commend my spirit. In You, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In Your justice, set me free. Hear me and speedily rescue me. Be a rock of refuge for me, a mighty stronghold to save me. You are my rock, my stronghold. For Your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Release me from the snares they have hidden, for You are my refuge, O Lord. Into Your hands I commend my spirit. It is You who will redeem me, Lord. O God of truth, You detest those who worship false and empty gods. As for me, I trust in the Lord. Let me be glad and rejoice in You. You, who have seen my affliction and taken heed of my soul's distress, have not handed me over to the enemy, but have set my feet at large. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. How very blessed we are, Lord, to pray these inspired prayers and be brought a little closer to Your peace and to Your prayers in spirit and in truth. And you teach us, Lord, even the catechism the Church teaches us, that idolatry is not to be confused with worshiping some other god, or Zeus, or Apollos, or something. That would be some form of idolatry, but also worshiping the idol of sexual pleasure is idolatry, in this same biblical sense. Worshipping race, honor, creed, status, my own position in the Church or in my job, these things are all idols. And giving, the transferring the honor and reverence and the trust that ought to belong to God onto them is idolatry. Send forth your Holy Spirit so that I can be freed from the last vestiges of idolatry. Teach us to humble ourselves, even in our goal setting. Teach us to be like Mary, to surrender our goals to you, to listen for your word, and to hear your prayer. And then you will hear our prayers. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Bow down and hear me, Lord. Come to my rescue. Lord, let the light of your countenance shine on your servant. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in distress. Tears have wasted my eyes, my throat, and my heart. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighs. Affliction has broken down my strength, and my bones waste away. In the face of all my foes, I am a reproach, an object of scorn to my neighbors, and of fear to my friends. Those who see me in the street run far away from me. I am like a dead man, forgotten, like a thing thrown away. I have heard the slander of the crowd. Fear is all around me, as they plot together against me, as they plan to take my life. But as for me, I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. My life is in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of those who hate me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your love. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Oh, Lord, you are such a humble bridegroom of the Church, and Lord of the Church, you are so humble. You come to serve us. You almost make it as if, as I said, you pray, beseech us, you request of us, you pray unto us, do this, and I will hear your prayer. And yet you break into our complacency this Easter Sunday, this Easter, this Holy Friday and Holy Saturday, you break into our complacency. Let us spend this week contemplating being with you. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Lord, let the light of your countenance shine on your servant. Blessed be the Lord, for he has poured out his mercy upon me. How great is the Lord, how great is the goodness, O Lord, that you keep for those who fear you, that you show to those who trust you in the sight of men. You hold them in the shelter of your presence from the plotting of men. You keep them safe within your tent from disputing tongues. Blessed be the Lord, who has shown me the wonders of his love in a fortified city. I am far removed from your sight, I said in my alarm. Yet you heard the voice of my plea when I cried for help. Love the Lord, you all you saints. He guards his faithful, but the Lord will repay to the full those who act with pride. Be strong, let your heart take courage, all who hope in the Lord. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. God of kindness and truth, you saved your chosen one, Jesus Christ, and you give your martyrs strength. Console us and heal us. In honor of Mary's gifts from God the Father, save us and help us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Blessed be the Lord, for he has poured out his mercy upon me. And then we go on to read our important reading from the letter to the Hebrews. I think we may have to make up a bit because we did not read yesterday's letter to the Hebrews, but I chose to read a shorter reading, which turned out good. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 10, beginning from the beginning. We are sanctified through the offering of Christ. Since the law had only a shadow of the good things to come and no real image of them, it was never able to perfect the worshippers by the same sacrifices offered continually year after year. Were matters otherwise, the priests would have stopped offering them. For the worshippers, once cleansed, would have had no sin on their conscience. But through those sacrifices, there came only a yearly recalling of sins. Because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, on coming into the world, Jesus said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. Holocausts and sin offerings you took no delight in." Then I said, "As is written of me in the book, I have come to do your will, O God." First he says, "Sacrifices and offerings, holocausts and sin offerings you desired. You neither desired nor delighted in. These are offered according to the prescriptions of the law." Then he says, "I have come to do your will." In other words, he takes away the first covenant to establish the second. By this will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ Jesus, of Jesus Christ, once for all. Every other priest stands ministering day after day, and offering again and again those same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But Jesus offered one sacrifice for sins, and took his seat forever at the right hand of God. Now he waits until his enemies are placed beneath his feet. By one offering he has forever perfected those who are being sanctified. The Holy Spirit attests this to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." He also says, "Their sins and their transgressions I will remember no more." Once these have been forgiven, there is no further offering for sin. The Passion. My brothers, since the blood of Jesus assures our entrance into the sanctuary by the new and living path he has opened for us through the veil meaning his flesh, and since we have a great priest who is over the house of God, let us draw near in utter sincerity and absolute confidence, our hearts sprinkled clean from the evil which lay on our conscience, and our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to our profession which gives us hope. For he who made the promise deliver deserves our trust. We must consider how to rouse each other to love and good deeds. We should not absent ourselves from the assembly as some do, but encourage one another, and this all the more because you see that the day draws near. If we sin willfully after receiving the truth, there remains for us no further sacrifice for sin, only a fearful expectation of judgment and a flaming fire to consume the adversaries of God. Anyone who rejects the law of Moses is put to death without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Do you not suppose that a much worse punishment is due the man who disdains the Son of God, thinks the covenant blood by which he was sanctified to be ordinary, and insults the Spirit of grace? We know who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, and the Lord will judge his people." It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Recall the days gone by, when after you had been enlightened, you endured a great contest of suffering. At times you were publicly exposed to insult and trial. At other times you associated yourselves with those who were being so dealt with. You have enjoined in the sufferings of those who were in prison and joyfully assented to the confiscation of your goods, knowing that you had better and more permanent possessions. Do not, then, surrender your confidence. It will have great reward. You need patience to do God's will and receive what he has promised. For just a brief moment, and he who is to come will come. He will not delay. The just man will live by faith, and if he draws back, I take no pleasure in him. We are not among those who draw back and perish, but among those who have faith and live. Responsory prayer. Never lose heart. If you wish to receive what God has promised, you must have the patience to do his will. Stand firm and you will be saved. You must have the patience to do his will. Second reading from a sermon by St. Augustine of Hippo. So this is our reading from the tradition of the church, and it's very good for helping us especially understand what we need to do to encourage one another to good deeds and to love. What is to glory in the cross of the Lord? The passion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the hope of glory and a lesson in patience. What may not the hearts of believers promise themselves as the gift of God's grace, when for their sake God's only Son, co-eternal with the Father, was not content only to be born as man from human stock, but even died at the hands of the men he had created? It is a great thing that we are promised by the Lord, but far greater is that which has already been done for us, and which we now commemorate. Where were the sinners? What were they when Christ died for them? When Christ had already given us the gift of his death, who is to doubt that he will give the saints the gift of his own life? Why does our human frailty hesitate to believe that mankind will one day live with God? Who is Christ if not the Word of God? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This Word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. He had no power of himself to die for us. He had to take from us our mortal flesh. This was the way in which, though immortal, he was able to die, the way in which he chose to give life to mortal men. He would first share with us and then enable us to share with him. Of ourselves, we had no power to live, nor did he of himself have the power to die. Accordingly, he effected a wonderful exchange with us through mutual sharing. He gave us the power to die. He will give us the power to live. The death of the Lord, our God, should not be a cause of shame for us. Rather, it should be our greatest hope, our greatest glory. In taking upon himself the death that he found in us, he most faithfully promised to give us life in him, such as we cannot have of ourselves. He loved us so much that sinless himself, he suffered for us sinners the punishment we deserved for our sins. How then can he fail to give us the reward we deserve for our righteousness? For he is the source of righteousness. How can he whose promises are true fail to reward the saints when he bore the punishment of sinners, though he himself without sin? Brethren, let us fearfully acknowledge him. Even openly proclaim that Christ was crucified for us. Let us confess it not in fear but in joy, not in shame but in glory. The Apostle Paul saw Christ and extolled his claim to glory. He had many inspired things to say about Christ, but he did not say that he boasted in Christ's wonderful works in creating the world, since he was God with the Father, or in ruling the world, though he was also a man like us. Rather, he said, "Let me not boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Responsory prayer. We worship your cross, O Lord. We recall your glorious passion. Have mercy on us, for your whose sake you endured so much. You have redeemed us with your precious blood. Hear the prayer of your servants and come to our help. Have mercy on us, for whose sake you endured so much. All-powerful God, by the suffering and death of your Son, strengthen and protect us in our weakness, We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. All right. We ought to really continue just a little tiny paragraph to not lose our place in the fourth part of the Catechism with the Lord's Prayer. So we were just beginning to explore how Jesus himself is the kingdom of God in seed form, and now, resurrected, he's poured forth his life so that we too will rise like a loaf of bread and we become the extension of his kingdom, the sacrament of his kingdom on earth. So we were just beginning to explore the New Testament theology there, how kingship can be different things, can be kingship, kingdom, or reign. And we're just beginning to explore the idea of the reign of God, which was so dear to the preaching of the patristic fathers, where we had that quote from Origen, from St. Cyprian. The kingdom of God means Christ himself, whom we daily desire to come. We talked about how we're also praying in expectation, because there's a hope that at Christ's coming, we ought not to be afraid, but be rewarded. And then the kingdom will reign politically, socially, spiritually over everyone, whether they want it or not. But now we have free will to bring ourselves into communion with Christ, to bring our will more and more concretely into the Father's will for our daily lives. For he has a detailed plan. We talked about how, did we talk about this discernment according to the Spirit? I can't remember. I'll just read the last two. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The end time in which we live is the age of the outpouring of the Spirit. Ever since Pentecost, a decisive battle has been joined between the flesh and the Spirit. Only a pure soul can boldly say, "Thy kingdom come." One who has heard Paul say, "Let not sin reign in your mortal bodies," and has purified himself in action, thought, and word, will say to God, "Thy kingdom come." By a discernment according to the Spirit, Christians have to distinguish between the growth of the reign of God and the progress of the culture and society in which they are involved. This distinction is not a separation. Man's vocation to eternal life does not suppress, but actually reinforces, his duty to put into action in this world the energies and means received from the Creator to serve justice and peace. This petition is taken up and granted in the prayer of Jesus, which is present and effective in the Eucharist. It bears fruit in new life in keeping with the Beatitudes, and that's another aspect of this. What role does our gathering together as priestly people to celebrate the Eucharist have in the coming of the kingdom? And it's a profound and interesting one. But in any case, like, how do we distinguish between, okay, women now have the right to vote, that wasn't that way in the 1800s. How do we distinguish between the progress of culture, where people have a desire not to engage in violence? They find other ways, rather than the gunslinging days. You ticked me off. You took my cow. You did this. But, you know, the wild days of the Indians and the cowboys and the duels, and I think there were even more duels before the 1800s. We just remember them from cowboy movies, but they were actually more common in Europe in the 1700s and 1600s because there were these honor grievances, right? So that's an example of a progress of culture. We no longer feel like, okay, we have to kill the image of God because someone, you know, slept with someone's wife or something. That's an example of a progress of culture. But does that mean, okay, now people are like much more like God than they used to be? We've just overcome everything. Is that true or false? And we have a discernment according to the Spirit. The Catechism tells us about that. And, you know, it depends. You actually get some really interesting discussions. Like I said, those progresses, they are not spiritually irrelevant. They are relevant. I mean, the fact that we now have ways of resolving things without violence in society is really, really good. But at the same time, what's going on in our society? Is our society able to provide these values of the kingdom of God that give people a purpose in life? And you can see violence is breaking out in other places. It may not be duels and everything and be crudely present, but it's present in society and between nations in other ways. So those are all things that go into your discernment according to the Spirit. I think Father Mike Smith talks more about that interesting theology of like how does our gathering together to do the Eucharist play into this. But I just thought that was very interesting. I think it's very, very interesting to talk about Catholic social teaching. Because we are indeed commanded, and we are told, okay, our teaching about our families, our communities, our parishes, our nations, our states, our governments, our school boards is very important. But at the same time, realize the kingdom of God is invisible and within us. Yet, we can't help, but as the Catechism says, put into action in this world energies and means received from the Creator to serve justice and peace. And that too becomes a sign of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Okay, that was more than I expected, but in any case, that was good. So the next petition is one that, oh yes, an atheist told me, oh, I always wondered, what does that mean, hallowed be your name? The term to hallow is to be understood here not primarily in its causative sense, the Church tells us. Only God hallows, makes holy, but above all in an evaluative sense, to recognize as holy, to treat in a holy way. And so, in adoration, this invocation is sometimes understood as praise and thanksgiving. But this petition is here taught to us by Jesus as an operative, a petition, a desire, an expectation in which God and man are involved. Beginning with this first petition to our Father, we are immersed in the innermost mystery of His Godhead and the drama of the salvation of our humanity. Asking the Father that His name be hallowed, be holy, be made holy, draws us into His plan of loving kindness for the fullness of time, according to His purpose which He set forth in Christ, that we might be holy and blameless before Him in love. So that's very interesting, right? We're not praying, oh, that God will change or become more holy, but that people will be recognizing what it means to value God, recognize the lovability and the character of God, and yes, recognize the difference, the profound differences in the way I tend to be compared with the way the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit relate to one another and to us. All right, we'll come back to that tomorrow. I offer my plenary indulgence or equivalent graces for this important time of meditation and prayer on the Word of God and teaching, and any partial indulgences for the souls in purgatory, especially her name wanted us to pray for, religious and priests, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.